the dark, I play my dreams. Purple coach of flows like sweet streams. I'm the daddy with the know-how seat. Reading the world like it's meant to be. I'm a coach of B-I-O-B. I'm the king. Back to love in everything. Bring a change. Making it last.
Welcome to episode 455 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes prostitutes. Well, happy Monday to everybody out there. Yeah, good to be here with you. I just got here in time out there weed eating like nobody's business, but I'll cover that in a minute. This episode, as always, brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. That's going to be October 27th through the 31st. TPC will get you 5% off. Nothing wrong with that. And if you can't be there in person, you can do so online. And remember, Barbara O'Neill is going to be headlining this thing. You definitely want to be there. Also, Nessa's Hemp, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Y'all, I use that stuff every day, especially when I go to town, which I'm probably going to have to do tomorrow. So anyway, Nessa's Hemp, you will get 10% off with promo code PERMA. I want to thank everybody in the house right now. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. It's been a very odd weather day today. We had some storms roll in this morning. It started really, really early this morning. And then it was pouring. Like, we had a river going down the road. And the Weather Channel said it was only 1/10 of an inch, even though we have massive runoff events and we have flood warnings. And now we got some more rain coming in this evening. So I have a feeling that there's going to be something interesting for this lithium rich area of Texas and Arkansas.
Yeah, I got a feeling. Well, we're about to be hit by something too, but I got to say, your mom has been saying that that little DBE Agriculture X device that we have out there has been blunting some of these nasty storms. So I guess we'll find out here in a little bit. I was out there weed eating like nobody's business, trying to get ahead of it. You know, I make that little power list every day, and I'm trying to get this stuff knocked off the list. I had to go out there, troubleshoot a doggone freezer, which I'll come to that in a minute. But anyway, so far, so good, man. This thing I'm seeing, I was talking to T from Mountain Readiness a little bit earlier today, and I was telling him, man, you know, this thing works probably a little bit too well. We got deer doing things that they have never done before, like coming out in the middle of the day. We got birds all over the place out here, birds I've never heard before, birds I've never seen before. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. You're thinking, okay, man, I really don't want to be courting in the deer. But, you know, at the same time, it's like they don't even care that I got bone sauce out here and a lot of this stuff. And I'm seeing, man, I'm seeing deer doing brave things, like practically walking into the garage and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. It's like, oh, man, it's so I'm seeing a massive shift in wildlife and also pollinators around here. So I'll keep everybody updated. But so far, man, this thing seems to be doing, seems to be having the desired effect out here. And like Jackson ever says, you know, if they're eating up your stuff, man, you don't have a garden, you got a deer garden. You were going to say?
Yeah, Dad, the word got out about mom. The deer were like, oh, if we go make friends with this lady, then we never get shot and we get fed and minerals and probably back scratches if we get close enough. Yeah, the word got out about mom. That's what happened.
Well, the word got out bad because she's telling me, hey, you need to start blasting these guys. That's coming from your mom of all things. Yeah, so if your mom, she says, you need to be blasting these guys. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll get on board. But that brings me back to the freezer. I guess I'll jump right into, you know, stuff going on here. Yeah, man. So we had a fridge and a freezer. The freezer might be, I don't know, 7 years old, maybe eight. The fridge is probably 2 years old, and both of them quit. Now, the freezer, you know, you can go out there. I don't know what they want for a freezer, but one this size, son, I'm talking about that big camouflage one. One this size might cost you about $1,000 these days. So I'm out here. This is where some of that AI can come in handy. because I'm out here troubleshooting this thing. And yeah, I'm a journeyman electrician, but electronics, and there's a reason why heating and air and refrigeration is an entirely different field. It's an entirely, you know, I know it's cousin, I can work my way around it, but I'm using this AI, this ChatGPT, to help me troubleshoot this thing. And sure enough, got it done. So, you know, wow. It's a rinky dink part in there that honestly cost $34. I looked up the part. It was $34, either $34 or spend $1,000. Had a guy come out here before to repair it about 3 years ago, maybe four. He came out here, and I think I'm replacing the part that he put in. So I'm guessing he probably cut and pasted a part that shouldn't have been there in the first place. And now I'm going to go to a place in town and go get the proper one. But yeah, if I couldn't figure this out, man, we're looking at like, good night, man, $1,000 just to replace this one. And the other one I got from Lowe's, that refrigerator freezer combo, I got that thing from Lowe's maybe 2, maybe 3 years at the most. I don't think it's been that long. And sure enough, it crapped out on me. So I got to figure out what's wrong with it. So folks, I mean, if there's anything good to come out of all that's going on right now, it's forcing a lot of us. I mean, I don't know billionaires. Well, I know one billionaire, but outside of that, man, I know people like me that got more time than money. And most of us don't have either time or money, because a lot of folks are working a second job. And when I got to sit here and take time out of my day to get this stuff done, you know, to a certain level, I'm thankful, because, you know, I learned another skill. And I'm thinking also, you know what? Maybe I might want to go back and go get that HVAC certification after all, because I mean, you know, having refrigeration is a big deal in my life. And you know what? I could be a blessing to the people around me too. If something goes sideways, you know, I'd at least have it in my wheelhouse to get that done. So anyway, spent a fair amount of time. And I will say, with that ChatGPT, because in the past, son, you would just go look up a YouTube video. Yeah. So I said, you know what, let me try this ChatGPT and see what's up. I said, okay, I got a broken freezer. Here's the model. What's wrong with it? So it was like a dichotomous key, man, like you would use in science. So, okay, do this. Does it work? Okay, now, and then it zeroed me in right into what was going on. So it was a defrost timer that was not working on this thing. So it had me set it manually. Bam, thing starts running. And I'm like, okay, well, that's handy. But now I just got to replace that timer. I think, like I said, it might have been $34. So I'll go get that part in town. So that's one thing done. Okay, other things going on around here. Folks, I know it's getting warmer, you know, technically the second day of summer. Keep your compost watered. You got to stay on top of that stuff, especially if you got worms, y'all. It's got to be way wetter for those worms. Let's see what else I've done around here.
And unless you're in the Southeast or the Midwest, then you want to keep your compost dry. You can overwater your compost. You can add too much water and make it go anaerobic. So you want to protect it from all the elements, the sun, from the evaporation, and then also the excess moisture from the rain too. So it goes both ways.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, son. So tell them, even audio people would hear it as well. How do you know whether or not your compost has enough water in it?
The best test for your compost is if you take like a handful of it, and two handfuls making one big handful, and then you squeeze it together as hard as you can, and then you should get one drop of water to form and fall. And that's why, you know, if you have a stream falling, then you know you have too much water. If nothing, you know, falls, then you might be a little bit too dry. Like I've had it before where I squeezed it as hard as I could, and then it almost dropped. Then in that case, I just add a little bit more water. But yeah, that's honestly the best test. And that lets you know whether or not it's 50% moisture content.
Yeah. Somebody in the chat, I think, was saying, hey, yeah, do it with salt. Hey, folks, I do it all. I mean, we got stuff in jars. We got stuff freeze dried. We got stuff in the freezers. And a lot of what I like to put in the freezers also is part of our harvest, things that do better. For example, I got to take a bunch of tomatoes from last year, thaw them out, and I got to make some more tomato sauce out of it. And then, folks, if you ever had my tomato sauce, it is the shiznit. Yep. Nothing but freshening. The only thing that's in that bottle of sauce that I make that we didn't have here is wine. And I could actually, with all the currants out there, could actually start growing that, is the wine and the salt and the pepper. That's the only thing in that sauce that wasn't grown here. So, or pretty close to here for the most part. But yeah,
which,
I like
which By the way, Dad, could you send me that recipe? Because we got a bunch of tomatoes coming in.
Yeah, son, that's the problem, is that there really ain't much of a recipe, man. I kind of do it with feel, you know. If I can't get it here, like I like to do it when all the herbs are coming up, you know, so the rosemary, the thyme, the oregano, and especially basil, all that's coming up at about the same time. And all that goes in there, folks, and it makes a massive difference. Son, I'll see what I can do. I'll try to talk you through it. So some other things we got going on out here. I think I talked about the birds, the pollinators. Everybody's loving that little device with that DPE Agriculture X. Pretty crazy. So some other things that, on a personal note, I've started resuming my rebounding. I used to rebound for about an hour every day, kind of gave it up for a little bit, and then I've started feeling like I was going backwards, so I started doing that again. For those that don't know, you can do it in place. You can jog in place, essentially, but on your toes, or you can go out there and jump on the trampoline. And I've also been doing that fascia workout from the Human Garage. Folks, if you haven't checked them out, you might want to check it out. Some really good stuff there. So I was like, okay, well, they got kind of a fascia thing in here along with some of the detox. Let me go ahead and combine some of this stuff. You know, in permaculture, that's what we do. We add combined functions. So I'm back to doing my breath hold work. I never did finish that course from Erwin LaCour. It's called breathholdwork.com. Very, very different breath technique that you learn. It's a static breath hold, okay? And when I stopped doing it, you know, you get busy, you stop doing what you know is helping you. And I was up to, like, for a static breath hold, 2 minutes and 32 seconds, I think. Got busy with other stuff and never got back. So I started the program over again. I said, okay, I'm going to finish this thing. It's also a meditation practice in there. And Erwin LaCour's meditation practice is not at all what you think meditation is. It's a totally different thing. In fact, he claims that meditation does not work for most people. And he's probably right. But his way of doing it is 180 degrees out of anything you've ever seen out there. So you're learning how to do a static breath hold, learning how to control your autonomic nervous system to a certain extent, also increasing your lung capacity, which is also, I didn't know this before, which is a big sign of longevity, is your lung capacity. So you're training all of that all at the same time, and it's going to help in so many other ways. But anyway, before I can intelligently talk about this thing, that's something else I resumed. And son, I don't know about y'all, but I was talking to T earlier. Everybody around here, everybody I talk to seems to be suffering from brain fog. Are you guys having that problem or no?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even people at, like, jiu-jitsu, you can tell in conversation. I mean, I'm sure you guys notice it here with me and having the brain fog, but it's like a very, I guess, common thing here. Like, even at jiu-jitsu, people who aren't at all paying attention to, like, the stuff that we're talking about, even they're mentioning how much brain fog that they have. Like, there's a dentist at the jiu-jitsu, at the jiu-jitsu gym. He was talking about, like, he walked into a room and completely forgot what he was supposed to be doing with the patient just from brain fog.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's exactly what I'm seeing. But folks, I'm finding out, and I'm not going to tell you about it just yet, but I'm finding out that I'm moving the needle in a massive way. With number one, the fascia workout. Today was tough because they sprayed like nobody's business, and I'm not sure that thing could have kept up with all of it. There's a little bit of everything all in there at the same time. So I got brain fog. Everybody else around me seems to have it. Everybody. So I'm finding ways to try to mitigate that. And diatomaceous earth might be on my menu. Let me just say that. So, and then finally, folks, I'm glad we're going to be talking to Jason from Kentucky Sustainable Living, because if you haven't kept up with the news as of late, you know, this, we kind of almost made fun of it, I think, the last time we were talking about it, son. This so-called peace agreement, it's in the toilet. And what I'm going to tell you right now, folks, you better be getting your house in order. You better be getting it in order. You better be getting all your skills. And that's why I'm talking about this brain fog. It ain't no accident. In fact, I want to ask Jason when he comes on, does he know, or is he suffering? Because everybody I know seems to be having it in the worst ways than they've ever had in their lives. I was talking to T, same way with him, same way with everybody else around him. So It's somebody says there, Donna. Yeah, good point, Donna. Heavy metals, exactly. And that's why I was talking about that DE and how you can chelate a lot of that stuff out of you, and then you might start seeing a little more clarity. Personally, I'm taking the equivalent of about two teaspoons a day, getting more minerals in the form of that Irish sea moss. I'm not saying it's curing anything, because if I have to be really careful about how I put things here, otherwise they will take us out. They will cut this feed. But I'm telling you what, I learned that tactic, if you will, from the human garage, and I'm putting it to work. And so far, I'm seeing improvement. I am seeing big improvement. There's also that product masterpiece out there that, you know, people are getting a lot of good results from it as well. But anyway, coming full circle with this before I kick it on over to William. Look, folks, I am being dead serious. You better be getting your house in order. If Michael Yon is right, and I had the pleasure of speaking to him recently, if he's right, then, folks, we are about to see some things unfold that we are not at all prepared for, not as a country, not as a city, not as a town. Most people individually, definitely not. So you better be getting your house in order, because even Trump admitted that if they didn't make this deal, that the entire world is going to go into a global depression. And with Israel dropping these bombs every time they come up with a deal, and us, instead of saying, okay, you're not getting any more of our stuff, we seem to be doubling down. And now Trump is doing a 180. And now here they're talking about, oh, there might not be. Folks, get your house in order. All right, son, how's things in your world?
Pretty good. Just trying to keep up with the pepper and tomato harvest. The dog is in competition with the baby right now, because the dog just discovered that she can eat strawberries out of the garden. So now it's a race between the dog and June to see who's going to get to the strawberry first. But other than that, just harvesting tomatoes like crazy, and trying to get everything put back before it goes bad, and trying to figure out just what exactly we want to do with a lot of this harvest. Because you have a bunch of options when you harvest something. You can eat it fresh. You can eat it in a canned version. You can like go ahead and do the value adding process and then can it if you want to. So that's kind of what we were discussing earlier today. Hey, I also, before I forget, I want to remind people that yesterday, Stefan and his son came out with the interview that he did with me and Dad for Father's Day. In fact, his son Zach made a little promo for us that we could play if we wanted to. And if it's cool with you, Dad, I'll go ahead and start playing it right now.
Yeah, fire it up. Recently, I had carried as a weight on my shoulder because of poor parenting. Because of that poor parenting, there were things that just until a few years ago.
Yeah, I see it becoming bigger because it's becoming the only alternative in certain cases. And it's really the only thing that's fixing up some very, very denuded ground.
And I do what I love, but it took me 48 years to figure it out. Thank God William figured this out in his mid-20s.
There was a point where I was like, I was holding her and I was looking at her, and I'm kind of internally not even really like aware of it, like panicking, like, man.
It's also probably your biggest investment in life.
Yeah, boy, did he clean me out. You know. All righty. Well, thanks for playing that, son. It was so cool to be able to hang out with my friend and mentor, Stefan Subkowiak. Folks, if you're not checking this stuff out, man, I am telling y'all, you are missing the boat. He is by far, I mean, and it's not just orcharding. That's what he's well known for, but there is not a part in the world of permaculture that he is not an expert. Now, he would never tell you that, but he's a guy I look up to. I see them, he and his son, like family. You know, there's such a joy to be around, and it was such a joy to be able to kind of do a Father's Day show with those guys. So if you can, go over there, check them out. Check out the Permaculture Orchard podcast. You're going to be glad you did. And honestly, all of his courses, it's some of the best money you're ever going to spend. If this is what you plan on doing, if you plan on making a living doing this, or if you plan on feeding your family and not making a bunch of foolish mistakes, good night, man. You go check out Permaculture Orchard podcast, man, and Stefan's channel himself, man. You're going to be so glad you did. Can't wait to get back up there. Thank you so much.
And then real quick before. Okay. So for you guys that have watched it and for you guys that are about to watch it, there was a moment in there where I think Stefan or his son asked what was like a really awesome memory with my dad. I want to change it. Some of the best memories was, or not best memories, but like the most memorable moments that still crack me up and anybody else I tell to this day are the times that dad would take me out of school to go see like X-Men or Lord of the Rings or whatever it may be. And then just the whole scenario of dad calling the school saying, hey, William's not going to be in today or be in tomorrow or whatever it may be. And then them asking why. And then dad saying, I'm taking him to a movie. And then them responding, oh, that's going to be an unexcused absence. And then dad's response of, like, he's my son. Like, forget your rules. This is my son.
Yeah, I'm glad. You know, there are some things about you growing up that I wish, with the benefit of hindsight, and I'm sure every parent does, I should have told them, first of all, I should have never had you in public school. Should have been homeschooling you. But honestly, I think it worked out for the best in the way that it turned out, because you become an autodidact, and every parent should be teaching their child to be an autodidact. If you don't know what that means, it's basically a self-taught person. You can be an expert at anything. Just give them the fundamental tools. That's all you need. And every one of the founding fathers of this country were autodidacts. And I feel like I ought to say that now that we're approaching July 4th. I mean, Thomas Jefferson would learn an entire language, and not just him, but a number of others, just to read one book. How crazy is that? Back then, you would send a kid off to college to learn advanced Latin and Greek. Now we send them off to college to learn remedial English. I mean, this is crazy. What planet are we living on? So yeah, folks, teach your kids to be autodidacts. And so there's a whole lot of things I wish I hadn't done as a parent, things I wish I could have done better, but kind of get a second chance with my grandbaby, because all the other, you know, all the mistakes I made apparently won't be made with her. So that's the beauty. Remember, it's a poor pupil that does not surpass his master. So William should be a much better dad than I was, just like I was a much better dad than mine was. Not that the bar was all that high, but there was a comment here I wanted to cover real quick. My man Steve Hall, glad to see you in the house here. And here's a guy, y'all, that if you get the benefit of knowing, I mean, a very wise man, feel lucky to know him. And man, it's been a while since I've seen him, man. We got to schedule another gathering so I can get a download of what Steve and his son are up to, because he's one of those guys, y'all. He's been living this life a long, long time. And he's wise, wise, wise. And when he says something, I really pay attention to it. And he's saying here, the bell rings in August. If you ain't ready, that's unfortunate. And I have to agree with him. In fact, the word I was getting from people like Michael Young was saying, you better have your hat. Well, it's probably the same thing, because he and a number of others are saying by the end of July, it's on in a big way. So keep that in mind, folks. All right. So before we go to our guests, let me go ahead and cover some of the housekeeping here. Wellness blanket, y'all, that little whoopee Michelle has on the couch every single night. She's all hugged up in it. Well, this thing chills you out in a big, big way. And I wish I could tell you about it, but she's hogged it up every single night. But we do have one on the bed, but it's that time of year to where, you know, shoot. Folks, I ain't putting on that AC unless we need it. So anyway, it's never so cool in here that I need to put on a blanket. But anyway, we got one for the bed as well. Perma will get you 10% off. Also, if you want some of these ballin' blue light blockers, folks, you got to get them. I'm telling you, these blue light blocking glasses, if you check out the work of people like Dr. Jack Cruz, Dr. Alexis Cowan, my man over at Sewing Prosperity, Logan. Look, folks, if you're looking at blue light when the sun goes down with your naked eye, you're messing yourself up in a big way, in a big, big way. Anyway, if you want to try to correct it, bond charge 15% off with promo code PERMA. Williams holding it up on the screen right now. And then finally, Soil Saviors. We got a link for that down below, folks. If you can't make ball and compost like us, next best thing is get yourself some Soil Saviors. Check out our link below and you will be off and running. And then finally, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. All right, y'all. So in lieu of going through, I see Jason's already in the queue here, so we're not going to mess around. So we'll have just more some, we'll have some more time with him. So here we are, my man, Jason from Kentucky Sustainable Living. How you doing, Jason?
Good. I put my glasses on. These are my seeing glasses. I've got some of the birth control, but mine look a little bit nicer than yours. So,
oh man. Yeah, bro. I didn't see you with those glasses before, man. You get these red ones like this with that hat, you look like you'd be shot out of a cannon.
I might, but no, I got to have my glasses. Sometimes my eyes are getting bad. I mean, you know how it goes. I'm 48 now.
Oh, so. Oh man. I remember when I was 48. Oh, snap. Man, the good old days when I was 48, almost a decade ago. But anyway, Jason, glad to have you on. What have you been up to, buddy?
I just got done moving chickens. We got a bunch of breasties the other day, and they're ready to come out and mix with the other guys. So I was out catching chickens. My wife was like, I was down in the office working. She texted me. She's like, hey, you want to move these chickens? And I'm like, yeah, I got time to do that. So I've been moving chickens this afternoon.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Well, Jason, I mean, I don't know how much of the program you could hear beforehand. We were talking about, you know, how things are heating up. Everybody kind of had a big, not everybody, but, you know, people that were buying it had a huge sigh of relief when Trump announced right there during that UFC or somewhere thereabouts that, hey, we got a peace deal. Everything's good. And then he came down like a ton of bricks on Israel saying, stop, you know, firing in Lebanon and all that. And then it wasn't even 24 hours later. Here we are back to where we were. Ships aren't moving. You know, sulfuric acid isn't going through there. That's how you make tires. We got all the other, you know, chip makers are going to be in a bind because they can't get helium. And then, you know, a whole lot of fuel is and fertilizer is not coming in and out of that place. So I titled this show, Our Lost Skills Making a Comeback. I think that kind of ties us into what you're doing.
Yeah, I think the skills are making a comeback. People, well, y'all said it before and I've said it too. When a Democrat's in office, everybody is all in a panic. They're like, oh my gosh, the sky's falling. I've got to learn this. And then a Republican gets in office and they're like, "Woo, yeah, we're saved. You know, our great grand wonderful savior is going to save us. He ain't done nothing for me. I mean, gas, I look today, gas is $3.40 a gallon. I mean, diesel fuel is almost $5 a gallon. And they keep talking about, oh, we put these tariffs in. We're going to get $2,000 checks and all this crap. I don't want your $2,000 check. I want gas to go back down to $1.50 a gallon back in the day. I want food prices to go back down. Keep the stupid $2,000 that supposedly we're getting. But it's, yeah, people are sitting there going, oh, well, he's our grand glorious savior. He ain't done nothing for me. He ain't done nothing for y'all, has he? I mean.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done some things. You know, we got a bunch of pedophiles that are, you know, we found out when they dropped the Epstein files, that we got a bunch of pedophiles in the highest echelons of government and big business, and not a single one of these clowns has been arrested. That's just one of the things. You know, second day in office, he gives $500 billion to the people building these doggone data centers. Sorry, I hit my mic here. Yeah, to the people, half a trillion with a T to a bunch of oligarchs in the tech industry to create a bigger panopticon of control around us than we already have. No, there ain't one thing that this guy has done so far. If anything, this is turning out to be the biggest hoax in American history. Man. But that's, for me, this is one massive, massive disappointment. Thankfully, this time around, I was believing people like Michael Young that said, you know what? And I could see all the telltale signs that this guy was more polished than spit and more glitter than grit. But that brings me down to what you're doing right now. You know, you got an event coming up and it's going to be here before too long. And for all these people out there that are thinking, they're chomping at the bit thinking, okay, maybe it's the bullet starting to hit the bone. And they're thinking, oh my goodness. Like I was talking before you got on here, had to go out here and, you know, find a part for this freezer that quit on me. I had to spend it out of my own pocket, we're looking at $1,000 to replace this thing. But I can get it done with a $35 part. And then you got a festival coming up right now where a lot of people that if they're trying to brush up on some of these skills that our great grandparents used to have, they got an opportunity to do that. Why don't you tell me what you got going on there?
I think this is going to be our sixth one, maybe. We were doing it twice a year, and I'm like, it's too much to do twice a year. You're constant planning mode for it. So I'm like, let's switch it to one time a year, middle of the summer. I mean, It's 90 something degrees outside. Nobody wants to be outside for a festival. I'm like, we've got air conditioning. I mean, our place, William will attest to it, is 70 degrees in the whole arena. And yep. So we're doing that. We're more focused. Originally, when we started this, we'd have people come in and just speak. And people are like, hey, I can get that off YouTube. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, cool. We've got a guy coming in. Two guys are coming in with their metal forge. They're going to be getting the metal hot and showing you how to make stuff with hot metal. I'm like, you're not going to get that on YouTube. People are going to be making, we've got one lady, she's like a sourdough expert. She's going to go through the whole process of making sourdough. We've got people that are doing herbal stuff. It's not come and listen to somebody speak all day. It's multiple workshops, hands-on stuff. You're actually learning stuff. And it's the nice thing about it is, like, William did the compost last year. It doesn't take a whole lot to start a compost pile. You know, it's not like getting into beekeeping where you're, you know, $500 to $1,000 in and you got all these bees and you're like, man, I'm scared to death of bees. But people can look at stuff, and William showed people start to finish how to make compost. It literally, you could go home and start doing it right then, but you get a taste of it and you're like, this is something I could do. So then you go back home and you test it out. Dana Russell from Russell Homestead. Dana has been making compost since pretty much Monday. She started making compost, and she has been making compost ever since then. And she calls me and she's like, I am so glad I came. She's like, I've got like three things of compost going. She's got extract and teas and all this. People actually learn this stuff and take it back home with them. And it's, there's a small barrier to entry. It's $45 for 3 days.
Man. Now, okay, Jason, let me ask also on that $45, does that count these classes if somebody wants to attend, or is that more of an a la carte kind of thing?
No, it's the only thing that is extra on Tuesday or Thursday before the festival, we're doing our in-house trauma management course, which that's trauma medicine, how to stay alive until EMS gets there. That's an extra cost onto that. But the $45 gets you in the door. It gets you every workshop we offer, all the vendors, all the speakers, $45, and that's it.
Wow, that's so a killer.
On that trauma course, that's fairly new, isn't it? This is the first time you guys guys yourselves are teaching at the festival, right? What made you get into that? What made you look into that aspect of preparedness?
The medical stuff is not sexy. Everybody wants to post a picture of their new AR-15 on Instagram, be like, look what I got. And I've got, you know, 1,000 rounds of ammo. Nobody posts a picture on Instagram with a case of galls. And it's like, look what I got. It's like, you're going to use medical more than you're going to use a gun. And, you know, if you're doing it right, if you're using a gun more than medical, there's something wrong with you. Honestly, you're doing it wrong. But we got into it and we started doing our first aid kits and medical stuff. I've met two amazing guys, Greg New. Greg New lives down around, he's about an hour and a half away. Greg was at a Green Beret and he did the 18 Delta for a while and then went on to be a warrant officer. So Greg's got that background. Greg and I were talking. I'm like, we can teach all the trauma management stuff. And then Mike Atkins was another Green Beret. Mike was like, I cross-train with the Deltas. He's like, so we can do this. So I was like, let's offer an in-house trauma management class for a reasonable price. That 8-hour class is $200.
Wow.
That's a steal, man. Speaking of those 18 Deltas, man, I was in sapper school with one of them. And to see those guys actually work was the most astonishing medical thing I've ever seen in my life, because these guys are truly, truly something special. So, man, that's really awesome. You know, and then, Jason, now that you brought it up, I mean, people tend to forget that the number one killer in things like the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, even all the way up into World War I, wasn't bullet wounds. It was simple cuts and bruises and scrapes and trench foot and stuff like that that killed way more people than bullets ever did, especially in things like the Civil War. I mean, you know, there's I'm glad you're putting an emphasis on that, because, it, like you said, man, that really kind of says it all. Every time you turn around, you'll see somebody in this space. Never, almost ever talking about the medical concerns when it comes to preparedness, because that a bug is more than likely going to take you out. Dysentery is going to take you out far before anybody's bullet ever would.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just people don't really think about it because it's not cool and sexy. And we're putting, I'm actually putting a kit together. We're going to launch at the festival. It's going to be the KSL clinic in a box. It's essentially everything you need. Like literally it's going to be in a waterproof tote. You can slide it in the back of your closet. And a lot of people put emphasis on the trauma stuff, you know, the tourniquets, the chest seals, stuff that EMS will keep you alive till EMS, but they don't think about, hey, if I'm out on the homestead and it's an actual grid down situation and I just get a real good nasty hamburger wound on my calf with a chainsaw, we're going to have to treat that wound for, you know, 2 weeks, maybe 4 weeks. It's like you don't have enough equipment in your IFAC to do that. So this clinic in a box is going to have pretty much everything you need to treat some serious injuries for a long-term situation.
Man, that's wild. So the actual of your the event is in Bowling Green, Kentucky, which is worth going to anyway because it's just a pretty part of Kentucky. But the actual venue itself is at, was it Western Kentucky University?
Yeah. Western Kentucky University at their expo. It's on their farm, and they've got a huge expo center inside.
Which the event place by itself is cool to just see, and it's awesome to have like a homesteading slash preparedness festival at a venue like that, because it is, like Jason said, air conditioning. There's plenty of space for vendors. There's plenty of space to get away if you want to as well. Are you guys going to stick with that location forever, or are you guys plan on switching it up and going to different locations, or what's the plan on that? Are you planning on going to other states and doing the Kentucky Sustainable Living?
In the future, no. I want to keep it right here. Just the logistics of trying to move it is crazy, and I have not found a better place to have it. I found one other place up the road, but it's like they won't let us. We can do a lot of stuff where we're at, and she really doesn't care. The only drawback to it is we can't do any tent camping, and people are like, I want a tent camp and sit around a fire and hang out with people. The only way I would move it is if I found a venue where we could tent camp. And honestly, I'm really not looking for somewhere because I don't want to fight for the spring and fall dates. I'm like, let's do it dead in the summertime. We've got air conditioning. And the girl that runs the place is amazing. We get to do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. You know, that's a really cool thing. I'm glad, you know, most people in the dead of summer, you know, are not at all going to be, you kind of lose them, I guess. I mean, because I've been to a lot of events in the dead of summer, and you're going to lose a lot of people just because of the heat. There was one in Missouri that William and I and my niece went to, and it was blazing hot out there. Now, I'm a guy that's accustomed to 140 degrees in a sauna or something like that. So it's not as big a deal for me. But when you got some of these older folks that are touch and go, man, they're not going to want to go to an event like that, or they're going to be so miserable that they're not taking anything legit away from it. So I'm glad, you know, ordinarily I would like things in a more rustic thing, but when you're doing it in the middle of summer, I can't think of a better venue. I myself have been there too. And I remember even with Darren, I think we were out there processing chickens or a pig or something. I can't remember what we did, but, yeah, folks, I mean, it's a really, really awesome venue, and Bowling Green has that warm spot for me because I worked on that Corvette. Worked on that Corvette plant up there. So there's a lot of cool stuff around there too, folks. If you want to make it a weekend, I mean, go up to Cave City, man. There's a whole lot of really cool stuff around there that you can check out in Bowling Green. So, well, Jason, this year, I mean, you know, how have you seen this event evolve from the time you started it?
Well, like I said before, it evolved where we were just getting people just to come and speak, you know, people that I knew. It's like, hey, come do a talk and everything. People really didn't like it. And it's like, let's move and transition into more of where you're actually getting your hands dirty and doing stuff. One of the biggest times that people liked last year, Shelly and I did how to make sausage and how to start curing bacon. So literally there were probably 20 to 30 people sitting there watching us. So we would bring people up and it's like, hey, take these butts and start chunking them out. So we were grinding it, showing them we each did a different spice blend on it. So we would show them how to mix the spices, and then we'd package it up, food savor it, is ready to go. We would show them two different ways on how to start curing the pork bellies and do it. And then once we showed them how to start the cure, I would walk them through it. It's like, hey, every day flip these things. And then after 14 days, we take them out, we rinse them real good, put them in the refrigerator for overnight, and then smoke it. Randy does a little bit different than I do. I do a cold smoke. Randy does a warm smoke. And then it's like after that, wash it, rinse some of the smoke off of it, and then put it in a refrigerator, and I let it firm up, and then slice it, and you're set. And people are like, dang, it was that easy? And I'm like, yeah, making sausage and bacon is not that hard. It's not, you know, rocket science, and people are like gatekeeping it. So people went home, and they're like, I made homemade sausage the next weekend. I'm like, that's what I want you to do.
That's awesome. Now, okay, so was it last year? There was one guy in particular that stood out from everybody else. You might know who it is, that lockpick kid, Mischief. Oh, yeah. I can't remember his – what was his
name?
Dayton. Is he coming back this year?
No, he's on a – he's doing some kind of 50-day wilderness survival or something right now out west somewhere.
Man, but that's a testament to the variety of people you guys have coming out there. There was everybody from me teaching compost to other people teaching sourdough to this – awesome 17-year-old kid who I guess he's an adult now, teaching people how to do like lock picking and stuff like that. What are some of the other classes there that are like unusual things that you wouldn't typically find at a homesteading festival?
Well, one of your guys, Pat Milicek, is coming out. He's going to come out and speak. So Pat's going to be there. And I got the number. I think William gave me the number. And I just called Pat up and was like, hey, dude, we're having this festival. You want to come out and talk and tell everybody about your product? He's like, yes, I'll be there. So I was like, okay. Crystal is a Doomsday Queen on YouTube. She's coming out. She's going to be doing a canning demo. She cans all kinds of stuff. So she's going to do an actual hands-on full from, you know, prepping the food to putting it in the canner to bringing it out. She's going to do that. Sean Patrick Tarot with Mark 37. He does ghost phones. With they're essentially laptops, tablets, and phones that have been de-Googled. So Google's not tracking you. So if you say, hey, I want a new guitar, when you pull up your phone next time, guitar messages aren't all over there in ads. So he's going to talk about your digital privacy. We're going to have the metal forging. The two guys are going to have their forge set up, be running it. We've got a guy, and I forgot the name of his company, but you've seen the show Moonshiners on Discovery Channel. He is the guy. He makes whiskey steels. He makes them for big distilleries also, but he made most of the steels for that show. He's going to have steels all from like a small one you can put on your stove all the way up to a bigger one like to run on a burner. And we're working out the logistics and the legalities of whether we can run that steel or not. So I'm like, it's easier to ask for forgiveness and permission on that. So I'm like, let's run it and see what happens. And he's like, we'll see. But yeah, so we're probably going to run a whiskey steel and see what happens with that.
I didn't know it was illegal to make your own fuel, Jason.
Yeah. Well, he told me, he said, the legality of it is, he said, you can own a steel, you can make the mash, but as soon as you pour the mash in there and light the burner, you're illegal then. And I'm like, okay. But man, I talked to some of the, there's a guy that comes to church with us that is the ATF guy. And then the sheriff comes to church with us. And he's like, just don't let me know. And he's like, we can figure something out. So I was like, cool. So I was like, we're going to fire up a whiskey steel regardless. It might be at dark, but we're going to fire one up when nobody's there.
Well, that's cool.
I think that's really awesome. There was, I mean, there was, yeah, I think that's a pretty essential skill when you get down to brass tacks. I mean, whether it's for cleaning, whether it's for, I mean, that alcohol can be used for so many things. You can even use it as a heater, depending on how you make it, and a bartering tool, any number of things. So, Jason, in light of everything that's going on, I can't think the timing for your show. And by the way, if you would, because people are asking in the chat, can you tell them where and when one more time?
It's Bowling Green, Kentucky. Bowling Green is an hour due north of Nashville. So we're due north of Nashville. It's July 17th, 18th, and 19th. And the website, do you have the website pinned anywhere?
It'll be in the description.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the website's KentuckySustainableLiving.com.
All right. Cool. So in this world right now, I mean, I can't think of a better time to be putting on. I mean, I would hope that the entire doors on that place will be falling off from people rolling up in there. Your price point is incredible. Everything's included minus one class. And by the way, you ought to be paying for that anyway, folks. And if you can get there, I think it'd be, even if I had a tent camp, if in these times, if I didn't have a lot of these skills, folks, I'd be on the first thing smoking that way. So, Jason, in light of all that, you know, I'm putting out, and a number of others are putting out, a pretty grim prognosis. Folks were already having a hard enough time putting bread on the table, but I was sitting here thinking as I was talking to you and trying to come up with a list of questions, you know, it really ain't that hard to, because I know you and I live in this world. I'm sitting here thinking, okay, because I have the skills I have, I got 8 freezers full of meat out there. The inflation ain't doing nothing to me.
Yeah.
You know, we got food out here growing. William and I were kind of catching up on what's happening out here. We got food out here growing out. I'm eating salad every morning from my own garden and whatnot. William's pulling up a bunch of tomatoes. I mean, what pitch would you tell anybody out there that may be on the fence right now thinking whether or not they ought to go to this thing, besides wrapping them in the head with a tack hammer? I mean, what marketing, what would you tell them if they're thinking, well, I may or may not go?
The world's not going to get any better in the foreseeable future. And worse, I tell people, worst case scenario, hey, you get some chickens, you know, then you've got some meat, you've got some eggs. Worst case scenario is everything gets cheaper and you're like, oh, eggs are back at 99 cents a dozen or something. Then I don't have to supplement so much. But, and then, you know, storing up food and storing up medical supplies, it's like, cool, I hope I never have to use those. But, you know, if I do, I've got it. And it's not just a grid down situation. You know, it's not a meteorite coming in and destroying Earth like in the movies. It's like, if you've got a job loss, you've got extra stuff put back, you've got your chickens out there, or you've got sheep. Right now, we've got over a dozen sheep, and I'm having trouble moving these guys because the grass is growing so much. It's like, I've got grass that's 2.5 feet tall that they've not even grazed on this year just because I've not been able to move them yet. And so you can do that. You've got an abundance, and you can't help somebody from a point. You have to help somebody from a point of abundance. You know, if you're broke and you come to me, Billy, and it's like, hey, man, I can't make my car payment this month. Can I borrow $500? And I'm looking, I'm like, dude, if I give him $500, I can't make the mortgage payment. So unless you're at a point of abundance, you can't help anybody else. So get your life at that point of abundance, and then you can start sharing with people. Strawberries. I mean, we're banging out, and the strawberries are because of you and William. Honestly, I came to your food forest class down at John's at SOE. I came down to it. I was like, dude, this is amazing. Shelly and I did a whole workshop on planting a food forest. I've been giving away strawberries. People at church, I'm like, there are buckets out there by the food forest. If you want strawberries, come pick them. Just knock on the door and say, hey, I'm over here to get strawberries. And people have been coming and getting strawberries. And I'm like, we put like 20 gallons up already. And I was like, I've got 20 gallons of berries. I'm not ever going to eat this many right now.
I know somebody who could. My daughter. She will go through. She finds out there's strawberries in your food forest, Jason, she probably ain't leaving the entire time. She's just going to hang out, play with the puppy, and then eat strawberries. So what are three skills that you think a lot of like homesteaders slash people in the world of preparedness, what do you think three skills are that people are overlooking that you guys are going to have available at your festival? Or maybe it's not available at your festival. What do you think like three skills are that people are overlooking?
I think medical stuff is a big one. You should know how to take somebody's blood pressure on that and see their blood pressure. Just, and I'm not talking about just straight tourniquets, all the sexy stuff. I'm talking like how to treat a wound, how to take a blood pressure, how to listen to somebody's lungs, stuff like that, how to treat wounds. So the medical stuff is a big one. I think everybody should know how to preserve food, because if we're growing food, we need to know how to preserve it, whether you're freeze drying it, canning, dehydrating, whatever you're going to do with it. Security gets a big nod, but a lot of people are kind of squared away on that. Probably water catchment would be a big one. I mean, water 3 days, you know, without water and you're pretty well toast. I think everybody should know how to catch and collect water and then also purify it. So if you do those things, those are big three, you know, food, water, and medical stuff. That's going to keep you alive for a long time.
Jason, how would you rate community in there? And the reason why I'm going to bring this up is, you know, my buddy Steve Hall was in the chat a minute ago. I don't know if he's still here, but, you know, we both found ourselves at the same event. I think the first one William and I ever went to was out there in Tennessee, and ran into him out there only to find out that he lives about an hour away from me. Come to find out we're thick as thieves. I mean, got the same kind of preparedness mindset, the whole nine yards. And I had to go plumb over to the other side of the state to meet a guy that's just down the road from me. Yeah. How important is community with all this stuff? I mean, it's a rhetorical question of sorts, but for all you folks out there that are feeling like, man, you know, I see the importance of doing all this. I just wish there was at least another human being I could talk to. How important is that aspect of all these?
It's super important. And we've had the same thing happen tons of times. Our very first festival, one of my friends came down from almost Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky. He came down, he literally met a couple that was like 10 minutes away from him. And I'm like, they would have never met if they both wouldn't have come down. Community is super important. Shelly and I have been building a community here for the last 3 to 4 years. We've got people that are coming in from other states that want to move here. One guy, one of our buddies, he's selling his place in Alabama. And he's like, I'm looking for land between Nashville and Bowling Green. He's like, I want to be closer to what y'all are doing. You've got, I've got, you know, 15 people I could call right now if I needed something, and they would be here within 30 minutes to an hour to help me do something. And I would do the same thing for them. Shelly's daughter last year had a big tree fall on her chicken coop. I was there in like 45 minutes to come and help her. Some other guys lived a little bit farther away. We showed up, chainsaws in hand. We cut this tree out, got it moved off, got the chicken coop ready to go. And you just don't, if you don't come out to events like this and you sit behind a keyboard all the time or sit there waiting, you know, well, God's going to show me these people I need to meet, and they're just going to show up on my front yard. It's not going to happen. You've got to get out and meet people in person and shake their hand, eat lunch with them, and feel them out. And you're not going to meet people if you just sit at home all the time.
And everybody there is going to be super friendly too. Like I don't remember any single jerks that I've ever met at Kentucky Sustainable Living. But if you are one of those people that is looking for community and like, I guess social skills is something you lack, or you're shy or whatever it may be, you can come up to any one of us at the festival and say, and just say that, like, hey, my name is so-and-so, I'm shy, but I'm looking for community. And there isn't a single like speaker there that I know of that would like not help in that situation. Or if you're going there to learn a specific thing and like maybe it's not being taught that at that particular festival, but you know somebody who knows something about it, you can ask. I mean, all of us are available all the entire festival. I mean, I think the only people who aren't like available 100% of the time is Jason and Shelly, because they're running around putting out fires. Yeah. So just a heads up, don't mess with Jason and Shelly. Let them do their thing. Come mess with us. Come mess with the speakers and everything.
In the afternoon is when I get time to sit down and relax and talk. So if we want to talk, we can do it later in the afternoon. And like William said, all the speakers are there the whole time. There's no VIP ticket to get in this special room to sit down. And if you want to talk to William, or if you want to talk to Pat or any of these other people, it's like, they're just walking around the whole time, and nobody, every now and then somebody's like, hey, I need 10 minutes. It's like, all right, cool. Go over to the office, get you a drink, sit down for 10 minutes and relax. But it's not like, hey, you know, another $100 and you can go hang out with William or one of these guys. It's like everybody's there the whole time.
Go ahead. So you're, one thing that's really awesome about Kentucky Sustainable Living are the cool vendors that you bring in.
Yes.
Like, tell them about all the different things that people can buy if they want to at Kentucky Sustainable Living.
I think we've got 53 vendor spots right now. So you can buy everything. Dana, that's doing all the composting, she is big into fermentation. She's going to have kombucha. She's going to have SCOBYs. She's going to have all the different ferments ready to go. You can buy all these starter packs of ferments. You'll be able to buy sourdough starter. You'll be able to buy ham radio equipment. You'll be able to buy knives. You'll be able to buy our medical kits. pretty much anything to deal with homesteading and preparedness, soaps, lotions, honey, just anything that, that you can think of. There's going to be a military surplus guy there with military surplus gear. Forrest from Alabama, Forrest Smith, is getting rid of a bunch of stuff. Forrest is bringing a literal 16-foot cattle trailer full of all kinds of different prepping supplies. And he's like, I need like two booths to put stuff out. So there's going to be everything, custom knives. It, pretty much anything that you want is going to be there.
I can guarantee you Forrest Smith is going to have some cool stuff at that table.
Oh, he's already told me. He's like, I got two things that I want you to look at before I show anybody else. And I was like, okay, cool. I was like, I want to look at these things.
Yeah.
But hell, he said he's going to sell his cattle trailer. He's like, if somebody wants to buy the cattle trailer, I'll sell it too.
Man.
I'm like, okay.
Man.
Wow. Times are hard. So, you know, Jason, as we come to a close here, man, let me just kind of bring it full circle here in light of everything going on in the national and world headlines right now, and even local headlines. I mean, you ain't got to be Nostradamus to figure out, man, things are getting tough. You know, people ain't getting paid no more. In fact, they're probably losing their jobs, a lot of them, you know, being replaced by AI or whatever the case may be. What do you think some of the biggest challenges that homesteaders and people in the preparedness mindset ought to be really watching out over the next months and years?
Well, all right. AI is not going to take away the job of going out and getting eggs in the morning, or butchering a chicken, or butchering a lamb. It's not going to take that. I think food prices are going to still keep going up. I think the government is just, with these data centers, if they called them really what they were, surveillance centers, people would be up in arms a lot more about it. But the data centers have been going on for years anyway. Billy, you worked at them when you're still on the tools. I think homesteaders have a little bit better shot at this because we're raising our own food. We're seeing what's going on. AI is not going to take that job. AI can't go out and make sure your cattle are on a different set of pasture and fill up the water tanks. So we've got the hands-on stuff. It's not going to take away the trades. You're still going to need plumbers, electricians, carpenters, tile guys. And most of your homesteaders are blue-collar people most of the time, unless it's some guy at a bank, you know, that's made millions of bucks. And he's like, I want to have like one of these fake farms kind of thing. So homesteaders are not afraid to get dirty. I mean, literally, I was out catching chickens before. And before that, I was moving equipment to a job site on a job we're working on. So I'm not afraid to get my hands dirty. And those people are like, they go out and they get it done. They get their hands dirty and they live life and they're not sitting behind a computer all the time to where AI can, you know, do all the spreadsheets and all this stuff for you. Yes, that's going to replace your job. So I think the homesteaders are setting a little bit better than the vast majority of people.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. One more time, Jason, tell everybody where and when for this thing and how they can go about getting tickets.
It's July 17th, 18th, and 19th. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And you can get your tickets at KentuckySustainableLiving.com.
And you can see Jason at Kentucky Sustainable Living on YouTube as well.
Yeah. Because I do a show. I do a show on Tuesday mornings and Friday mornings at 8 o'clock live.
And you and I will be doing one June 30th at 8 a.m. on both of our channels. So if you guys see like a live stream pop up at 8 a.m. June 30th, we're doing a live stream.
All right. Well, you know, that's going to do it for us today. Y'all, believe me, go check it out. These are wonderful people. I feel lucky to know Jason and Shelly, man, they are going to knock it out of the park with this thing. You know the deal. Till next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
Run deep. Wisdom from Solomon. Climb across the stream. Let the ideas unfold. I'm moving with the truth, truth, truth. Feeling anxious, truth, truth, truth. Who's got the answers? All we need to do. Listen to the earth, they've got us through. Let's see the shame. Watch the world spin. From the smallest sprout to harmony begin in the cycle of life, where the magic's alive to the